Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
At Ken Carmen Show on Twitter. Is it acceptable to eat dinner in a hot tub? Keith Britton is currently down in Mexico eating dinners in hot tubs. 74% say no.
This is absolutely disgusting.
It's absolutely the correct answer. You shouldn't be eating in a hot tub.
All right, now we got to go out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We welcome in Maggie Gray, who's wondering what morning zoo she walked into.
Awkward segue, sorry about that.
We appreciate Maggie joining us. She is a radio veteran. She's on WFAN in New York and also used to write at Sports Illustrated. You can find her on CBS Sports Radio as well. Maggie, welcome to the show, and we thank you for coming on.
Hey, Ken and Anthony, thanks so much for having me. I think that hot tub poll is actually a little light. 74%, that still means there's a lot of people eating food in a hot tub, and that's alarming.
You can't be eating in a hot tub.
It's staggering.
It's uncouth. Well, I wish we had sunnier things to talk about here. We wanted to ask your thoughts on Kareem Hunt getting signed with the Cleveland Browns. First, what was your thing that you first thought of when you found out this news?
You know, I wasn't actually surprised by the news at all. You know, I thought that fully that Kareem Hunt was going to get a second chance in the NFL, and I'm not saying that Kareem Hunt doesn't deserve a second chance in the NFL, but I've always been of the opinion that if you are going to really make amends for these very public missteps and gaffes and assault, was what we saw on that video, then I feel like you really need to go by the mantra of living your apology. You know, I really feel like it has to be more than just words and a statement that's put out by your PR people. You have to, quote unquote, show the receipts. You know, I want specifics. What have you been doing? So first of all, get a little introspective, Kareem Hunt. Why do you think you went off in that way? What would have been the ramifications, or what would have happened if none of your friends were there to even hold you back when you went after that woman, as we all saw on the video? Why? Like, get to the root of it. And then what are you doing to make amends? How are you out there just with yourself in the community? I don't want vagaries, guys, when it comes to this thing. If you are going to really show me that you deserve a second chance, I want to see what you're out there doing. I don't think that's too much for the fan base to ask. And then I was really kind of dumbfounded and really disappointed with John Dorsey's press conference on Monday. I thought the same rule should apply for the general manager. Get specific. If you're saying that you've done extensive research into Kareem Hunt and this situation, then why don't you have any specific answers when the beat writers who are assembled were asking very legitimate questions? I mean, this was not an interrogation by any sense. They were asking questions about simple facts that John Dorsey just did not have the answer to. So to me, it just rang really hollow. You know, you can bring in a guy and it's the organization's business, whatever they want to do, they're allowed to do. But don't sell us and the fan base and the media and everyone, don't play us for fools by saying that we've done all this work and, boy, look at all the strides that Kareem has taken and us as an organization, when you have absolutely nothing to show for it or you're not willing to share that. That was the moment for John Dorsey to share specifics, and he had none.
Maggie Gray, join us on the hotline. I don't disagree with any of your perspective except to say this. We all know exactly what John Dorsey was probably feeling, which is we just got a really good football player for nothing. And this is going to help our football team, and we want to win the Super Bowl this year. I know you can't answer a question like that, but like you said, all right, it's insulting to everyone's intelligence. Probably John Dorsey knows that as well. He went and got him because the NFL allows the Browns to go get him, and he said, hey, why not? Let's go get him, and let's take the chance on him. It'll be worth the risk.
Yeah, and you know what? He'll say, listen, the juice is worth the squeeze here. I don't care what kind of slings and arrows you get from people like me far away in New York. Doesn't matter. It only matters if people are renewing their season tickets for the Cleveland Browns. And, you know, honestly, the Browns, I'll just say from a New York national perspective, whatever you want to call it, I mean, the Browns have been the feel-good story in the NFL this past year. And I just thought it was very weird that John Dorsey would even admit yesterday that he didn't ask any of the current Browns on the roster what they thought about bringing Kareem Hunt onto the team. That to me seems like just the very bare minimum of courtesy to say to you, the people in your locker room, hey, we're thinking about bringing this guy in. How do you feel about it? And have some kind of dialogue. You know, just because we can all look and be cynical, and I'm as cynical as anyone, but we can look and say, man, like nothing's going to change. And, you know, we know that this is just a bottom line business. So why fight it? You know, I don't take that view, actually. I think if you see wrongdoing or if you see something that seems out of order, say wrongdoing, but something that's out of order or something that doesn't stack up, I'm going to call it out. You know, I'm of the belief that just because you're a powerful person doesn't mean you're above reproach. And just because John Dorsey's the general manager doesn't mean that he's doing everything perfectly. You know, just a little personal anecdote, I've gotten to a little bit of hot water here in New York with some comments I made about James Dolan, the owner of the Knicks. Just because, you know, I might have a personal, there might be some personal backlash or vendetta or something like that, doesn't mean that I'm not going to call it out. And just because it seems like a fait accompli that Kareem Hunt was going to play this year, whether he had done 1 hour of introspection or not, doesn't mean that I can't, you know, bring attention to it, try to use my microphone and my platform to make people think, hey, is this something I want to support?
Maggie, we thank you very much for that candor, because I've talked about it on the Saturday show, and here we actually stand with you on that. I want to go back to what you said about, you know, the cynicism about this, because we had a guest on just about it. He joins us every Wednesday in studio. He works here at The Fan as well. And it made me start to think. I know that the hot stuff that we say now, the guys like me will say now, it will go away on Sundays in the fall. People will not turn around and shun Kareem Hunt if he scores a touchdown. But then I started to think, you know, if we're just going to sit here and support everything the NFL eventually does, because we do, we're fans. If the NFL came out and said, all right, you know what, this is it, we got to put a stop to this. Again, it could open them up for lawsuits, I understand, but we are no longer, if you have been found guilty of this, you're no longer getting the privilege of playing in the NFL, that's it and that's all. Wouldn't fans eventually be supportive of that? Wouldn't we fall in line and support that type of thinking? Because I think that fans, no fan wants to say that they condone domestic violence or assault on a woman or anything like that. No one wants to be told they're doing. So basically, the only thing we're trying to avoid here, Maggie, is awkward conversations every time one of these guys gets signed.
Yeah, you know, it's such a good point. And I really feel like I feel bad for the fans, because I feel like they're put in a really awkward position here, because, you know, ultimately, you love the team. You love the Browns, right? You love this entity that you've been rooting for, that your identity is wrapped up in for most cases, especially, I can speak for fans in New York. I mean, gosh, you know, their entire identities are wrapped up in who they root for. And so to ask them now to cheer on or accept someone who they might find personally reprehensible, it's a really awkward and it's a really terrible dilemma to put sports fans through. And yeah, I believe that the NFL could do a lot more, but I'm not really sure that, number one, the NFL is really equipped to do that now, which is kind of ridiculous considering the amount of money and resources the league has. But I just don't think they have the appetite for this, quite frankly. I mean, even the NFLPA, you guys probably saw this earlier this year in a op-ed to the Washington Post, a woman who had been brought on to basically be a consultant for the NFLPA and how they handle domestic violence issues, resigned and wrote her statement that this was all just eyewash, you know, that nothing was really happening and no one was really committed to it. And that's on the player's side, too. So I think there's culpability on both sides. And I think that, you know, the NFL has a lot of work to do. It's tough when you want to become, you know, the judge, jury, and executioner. But if any league could do it, it is the NFL, because they do have the types of resources to commit to this. It's just how you're going to commit them. You know, quite frankly, when we found out when this first happened with Kareem Hunt that for some reason, maybe the NFL had called off the Chiefs investigation for some reason. I mean, it all seemed so convoluted, and it just seemed like something designed to try to bury this story and layer it under so much misinformation that fans eventually we get to training camp and it all goes away. You know, it's about keeping this stuff in the spotlight, and it's about, you know, understanding that we can root as football fans and that's okay, but understand that the product is not one that's perfect, it's flawed, and so are front offices who have to make these decisions.
Maggie Gray, join us on the hotline. You can catch her WFAN in New York, of course, on the radio.com app. So if you were commissioner tomorrow of the NFL, or you sat on the committee that Dee Haslam, part owner of the Cleveland Browns, you sat on that committee for conduct, what would you say? What would you suggest, not only for the punishment here, but for all situations, even though they're not all the same, for all situations like these?
Yeah, I would say I think it starts with the fact-finding and the gathering of information. You know, I feel like there's sort of these shadowy kind of figures that we all believe kind of work for the NFL, right? We've heard about these former FBI agents and law enforcement, and they're in every city. I really would like, I think that possibly these entities need to have a little bit more communication with each other. You know, how about something Kareem Hunt happens in Cleveland, but he plays for Kansas City. You know, could we not find out from anyone in Cleveland, someone working in the hotels, police in that city? Can we not get more information? I mean, I'm assuming that these law enforcement people working for the league would have sources, connections, ways to get information. So I think that's ultimately where it would start. How can you streamline that kind of fact-finding? Like, I know it happened here in New York. If you guys remember the story about Josh Brown, he was the kicker whose wife was alleging that he was physically, mentally abusing her, but it was happening out in Washington State, I believe. Could have been Washington, might have been Portland, can't remember right now. But it was all the way out on the West Coast, and for some reason, that might as well have been happening like on the moon or Singapore or like halfway around the world, that you could share information between those two entities, and it turned out to be a really embarrassing situation for the New York Giants. So, and they ultimately did cut ties with Josh Brown, but it was after they went through the ringer, quite frankly, and a lot of public embarrassment. So I feel like that's where it starts. It's the communication, number one, and then leaning on experts in this field. That's what I always do. You know, I was a reporter before I got the job at WFAN, and I feel like leaning on those journalism instincts, leaning on your fundamentals of the people who are experts in the field will know how to handle these things the best. And, you know, guys, to be frank, this was not domestic violence. This was not intimate partner violence. This was just basically like an assault on a woman. So it's a little bit different. But a lot of the experts will tell you that zero tolerance is actually not the best policy when it comes to domestic violence. We have to have these kind of voices in the room. How do you, and I know the NFL has done this and brought people on, but I feel like I'm not really seeing the results as clearly as I'd like to. And I feel like, so there's starting with information and then more experts in the field. And it just seems like this is moving slower than an iceberg, and I don't understand why.
All right, Maggie, just real quick, because we got to go, and I appreciate all the time. And, of course, you can catch you, Carlin, Maggie, and Bart, weekdays 1 to 3 p.m. over there, a historic time slot at WFAN. If you were a GM in this league and you've got a carte blanche by your owner, would you pick up Kareem Hunt right now?
You know, from what I've seen from Kareem Hunt, just the interview with Lisa Salters from earlier this year after he got cut by the Chiefs and then his statement, I would not. You know, I want to see the actual results. Like, I want to see, or I want to see not even the results at this point. I want to see the efforts and the attempts.
So, Maggie, I get that, but you're going to be playing against him then. And if your job's on the line and he's in your division running all over you, I hate to be all that matters is winning, win at all costs, but we know how this league is.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that I would probably, I know that I would still pass, because if I hadn't seen the person actually show that they are making strides to better themselves, I know this is going to be a headache that's going to come back and haunt me later on. So I'm basically playing with fire, and I'm making almost a deal with the devil that I would be willing to look the other way even if I'm not convinced that the person has actually materially changed or tried to change. I know I'm going to pay the price for that down the line, and I wouldn't want to run my organization that way.
Maggie, we thank you very much for the time. All the very best to you. Hopefully we'll talk to you again soon under more sunnier circumstances.
I know. Guys, I had a question for you, too, and we're out of time.
Ask it. What is it?
Okay.
What is it?
Okay, so here in New York with the New York Jets, obviously they hired Greg Williams to be their defensive coordinator.
Oh, boy.
Yeah,
oh,
I know.
And Joe Vitt, his old friend.
Joe Vitt, his old friend. We read the testimony of them pointing fingers at each other during Bountygate. I'm sure that's going to go smoothly. But here's my question for you guys, because you're boots on the ground. He's also bringing his son, Blake Williams, with him. I don't know anything about this guy.
Oh,
tell
boy.
Me about the son.
Oh, boy.
I think you should be nervous.
Oh, no, really?
Yeah.
Ken already hates Adam Gase.
So that it was a train wreck waiting to happen.
I don't hate Adam Gase. I think that he's going to rub a lot of people on that staff the wrong way, and probably a lot of players on that team the wrong way.
I know Jarvis Landry's not a big fan of your coaching staff over there.
Well, it's cool because it's only his like LSU alumni Jamal Adams is probably the most important person on the team besides Darnold. So it's going to go swimmingly. Cool. Thanks, guys. Thanks for the optimism. Man, it's been a fun day all around, hasn't it?
Thank you very much, Maggie. We appreciate it.
Ken, Anthony, thanks a lot, guys. Be well.
Thank you, you too.
Isn't it great? Normally, that's us on the other line having to go, oh, great, great. That's a lot of optimism. Now it's somebody else and their other football team.
I'm just telling the truth. Maggie Gray on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. I remember during the season, you always loved to poke me and prod me, and I go, hey, I got my reasons. He is an abrasive person.
All right, she had a takeaway there about feeling bad for Browns fans who are now caught in the middle of all of this and trying to defend Kareem Hunt. I know we have some thoughts on that when we return.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.